So what is the name?
The mayor's supposed to be done at 12:30.
12:30?
Yeah, when we come back.
Okay, sir, could you put the CO3 on the line, please?
Yes, I'm not gonna spill color.
I'm not sure why they scheduled them like that.
That's all right, we'll just give whoever's next.
I didn't know if they were supposed to be here and they couldn't be here.
I think it's Louis, but if he's not here, we just go ahead and do it.
Okay.
So which one are we gonna do?
We have that gentleman.
Right.
And we have two applications.
Hello, I've got the officer coming. He had to run to the restroom.
Okay, we're scheduled to do him, we're waiting on now some people. We're gonna do him at 12:30, Mr. Romero.
Oh, okay.
But, Mr. Romero's weather. But whoever you have, who do you have? Do you have one or two other ones there?
I have Marcella.
Okay.
You wanna see him?
Yes. Yes, and then we'll see him.
Okay, give me 2 minutes to get him on the bridge and I'll sign him up.
Okay, do you have, okay.
Thank you.
Who has Marcella? Do you have that or?
It was Louis, I got it.
Huh?
I said it was Louis, but I pulled it over like that.
Okay.
Let me get him on the line, see?
Hello, Mr. Ramirez? Okay, sir, they're gonna bring another one in. We're gonna do your hearing at 12:30, okay?
Okay.
So you just set the phone down, she's gonna swap you out.
Okay, he's coming in right now.
Okay.
You said we're ready at 12:30 then?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay, here it comes.
State your name.
All right, so at this time I'm going to swear you,
your supporter, and Mr. Turner M. So do you all solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
I do, and I need to make an amendment to the law.
Well, you would.
In the warrant, there is a discharge letter from TLC that is not documented on page one. So on the bottom where it says other parole officer testimony, I'd like to add discharge letter dated 1/14/2018.
Thank you, sir. All right, we just had to add one note to the warrant there, sir. Okay, your hearing will be conducted in two phases today, sir. Phase one will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In a phase two, we will determine whether the community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So in phase one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the one allegation that's on your warrant. And after I read it, I'm going to ask if it's true or false. So allegation number one is violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 3, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at TLC 2202 East Roosevelt Street, Phoenix, Arizona, on or about January 14, 2018, without prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you were abstained from supervision. Is that true or false, sir?
True.
Thank you. So based on the admission of Mr. Marcelli, I apologize, I don't pronounce it quite right. But is it delinquent as a violated terms and conditions of supervision, and that he may have lapsed or about to lapse in the criminal ways of the company?
Second.
Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Johnson. Okay, sir, we're going to be moving into phase two of your hearing in a moment, but before we do, Mr. Turner is going to give some background information, so down phone, and I'll be right back with you. Mr. Turner.
Mr. Massino was released from ADC custody on 12/12/2017 and arrested on 5/15/2018 by the Arizona Department of Corrections Fugitive Apprehension Unit. No new charges. Returned back to ADC custody on 5/15/2018 with an adjusted CSED of 5/13/2019 with 121 abscond days. Current conviction, 2011, promoting prison contraband, 1 year, 6 months. Prior convictions, 2005, criminal damage, 1 year. 2006, commitment B, count 2, theft means of transportation, 3 years, 6 months. 2006, commitment B, count 3, theft means of transportation, 3 years, 6 months. 2010, armed robbery, 8 years. 2010, commitment C, count 3, kidnapping, 8 years. This is his third term in ADC, with a CUIR score of 4-4, mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 2. STG information, he is a suspected member of the STG Border Brothers and admitted to associating with the criminal street gang Southside Yuma. Prior terms of supervision, 2006, TIS release, arrested, reached CSED in custody. 2009, TIS release, absconded 1 day, revoked by BOEC. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy with fighting, tampering with security device, smuggling contraband, promoting contraband, stalking, offering a bribe, criminal damage, drugs, assault on an inmate, assault on staff, threatening, and harassment noted.
Thank you, sir.
Other arrests, there were other arrests, but they were dismissed. His GD score of G6V8. Since returning to the Department of Corrections, he's been found guilty of 6 minor disciplinaries and is pending a disciplinary for fighting.
How many minors?
6 minors.
Since May?
Since his return on the 5/15, yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. So, we're going to go over a supervision summary here, a case supervision summary. So, I guess originally December 12, 2017, when you were released, You approved the placement of TLC at 2202 East Weaver Street, Phoenix, Arizona. You failed to provide any additional addresses for investigation prior to absconding. So when you left TLC, sir, where did you go?
I stayed homeless for about a week. About 2 weeks, I stayed homeless. And then I met my fiance, who's, I can't see nobody, so I'm not sure if she's at the hearing, but she was unaware of my absconding, and up until a month before I turned, the marshal told me that her sister came in as to my whereabouts, and a month before, prior to me getting arrested, I told her, hey, well, this whole time that I've been here, I've been an absconder, and I'm a fugitive, you know.
Okay. So, were you working at all on your officer?
Yes, I took my own little sets of notes, according to your guys' questions. As soon as I got out on my second day, I was working for a labor company, and then I'm a heavy equipment operator, and I was working with them downtown on 3rd Avenue in Van Buren at the App Center. And once we finished the project there to a private company from Texas, I was working at the Scottsdale Pavilion Mall, Gordon Green, through the main CEO of the company. And on Saturdays and Sundays, I was working holding up signs in a company in Scottsdale, through a company for Scottsdale selling homes, them new condos out there. And I would hold up a sign on the sidewalk for 10 hours, for $10 an hour. And that was only on the weekends. And when there was like football games or any ball games or Diamondbacks games, the head manager at the TLC, he would allow me to go either to like the last Cardinal game in the Jets, and I got to do that one, and I got to do the Postito ball game at the BNL Stadium, as far as me, because I was staying productive, and every time that I was let to go off the premises and come back, then I never dropped dirty, or my breathalyzers always passed, so they would allow me to do the games, and then the fairgrounds, I forgot what the one they had in Albuquerque, the Renaissance Fair. I was trying to stay as much as productive as I could have out there as far as job-wise. Since on my second day, I already had a job, because I'm a licensed heavy equipment operator, so it's job-wise, I've never had an issue as far as to me being occupied on that.
Okay. So you were referred to task and signed the code employee. You were responsible for one testable sample and the one that was you were referred to the CHCCAP program for our management counselor. You were assessed for 30 sessions and only attended 2 prior to absconding. You only did 2 before you absconded, so you obviously didn't finish that.
Yeah, I advised my parole officer, I don't have like a drug issue with drug problems, so if anything and I wanted to get help, it would probably consider as far as the way my communication skills were or anger management problems, and I signed up to those classes, and it wasn't as it stated on this paper, like upon my release, that took me a few weeks to know that these classes existed, and I didn't have transportation, nothing like that, and I was at the Alpha House, and I would go from East Phoenix all the way to Mesa, That's why I was attending my anger management classes. But that was pretty voluntary. Like, I wanted that to better myself, and I was willing to pay. I was paying my fines and to attend those classes, you know?
Okay, so how often were you using meth while you were out?
I wasn't using it at all.
But you had some in your room. And
no,
there was some found in your room on the day that you ran off, but you absconded. According to this, there was a thief police officer responded to the halfway house, and Mr. Perez apparently was the supervisor on duty at the time, but he reports that during a search of your room, a small black cougar was found. The cougar was reported to contain what was believed to be a quantity of methamphetamine and a scale. And it says Officer Bacchus states that he was advised by Mr. Perez that you were in the room when the cougar was open, and you grabbed what you could out of the cougar and fled on foot in an unknown direction. And then upon closer inspection, the cougar was found to contain a spoon and two small crystalline pieces, which, based on Officer Bacchus's experience and training, he believed to be methamphetamine. And further reports that suspected methamphetamine was impounded and transported to the Mountain View Police Precinct, where he'd be requesting that the offender be charged with felony possession of drugs pending lab results. So, the day you ran off is when that all happened. So,
I was outside doing a car wash, and they said they were going to go search the house. And inside my room, it's a people of eight people. Eight people were in my room. They have like a whole bedroom, the way it's set up, it's a whole bedroom, and there's eight different bunks, like a dorm.
Right.
And the guy from Ray Perez, I've had a couple altercations with him, and as far as me being a protected custody member, and a lot of the guys that I stayed at the halfway house, I was the only one that came out of PC, and off, like right after I got out, and my parole officer made me stay there, and because I got out of protected custody, they believe that either I was a sex offender or a confidential informant or something, so I was being targeted as to the general population inmates. There was quite a few inmates that, or ex-cons that were living there that I knew from prison, and I went and I got in an altercation with one of the inmates that was a staff, and he kicked me out, and then they called my PO, and my PO said, well, why don't you guys rewind the tape to the camera, because I told my PO, look, man, I'm trying to be out there and make it. I have somebody that's supporting me out here. I really served a little under 15 years, man, and I learned what I want. I don't want to be here in prison. I'm trying to make it out of society. I was like, well, these guys are nitpicking me and they're targeting me because I just came out of a protected custody yard, and they're like, the way they see me is like, I'm either pretty much like a snitch or a sex offender, or they don't know the reasons to me, so they're nitpicking me. And then Ray called them and told them, well, yeah, I reviewed the tape and I did see the altercation, and it was my staff that approached him and got at him and laid his hands on him first, so we're going to take him back. So my people said, okay, and I told my people, I don't want to go back. He goes, well, you're $500 behind in rent, because I was going through the labor company, through the temp agency. They gave my whole paycheck, and then they deduct their rent money, and they deduct their transportation, because they were the ones that were taking me to work every day. They were the ones that were giving me the job to the temp agency. Yes?
Okay. Let's go back to the issue that we were supposed to be talking about. The day that you ran away.
Okay.
there was a black cougar found in a room. I don't say in my information where that was. If you live in that room, it was your room as well as maybe seven other people, but it says you live in the room when they found the cougar, and when they opened it, you reached inside and grabbed whatever you could get a hold of. They didn't see what that was, and you ran off, and you were never seen by them again. Okay? So if somebody else is targeting you, what did you grab out of that little pool?
I didn't grab nothing. That incident never took place.
Okay, so you're saying that the warrant was falsified?
The guy, the rape red, they never found a rape. I was at a car wash when all this was happening outside of the parking lot. And they went up in the room and searched it and found that, and he said, it's yours. And I was like, that's not mine. And I just took off. I never grabbed nothing. I just took off for 2 minutes. I told him, you're not going to street charge me or get me for something that's not mine, and that there's other 8 people. So I left in fear.
Okay, so but because of that, you ran off and absconded for 121 days.
Yes.
Okay. Let me see if my fellow board member has any questions. Mr. Turner, you have some information.
I have a couple more missed notes I'd like to read. On 116, Officer Kupelman received a discharge letter from TLC dated 114, which stated the offender was found in possession of illegal narcotics, needle, syringe, razor blades, spoon, and plastic wrap. On 118-18, 1350 hours, P.O. Kupelman received a telephone call from an unknown number from the offender. Fender stated that he was in Yuma living on the streets. Fender stated he got kicked out for some bullshit. Over some shit, what wasn't even his. Pro-officer asked the offender why he had not reported, which the offender replied, it was late, man. You guys were closed on Monday. I just called my family in Yuma and got a ride. The offender was then directed by Parole Officer Kupelman to report to the Northeast Parole Officer no later than 10 a.m. on Friday on 119-19. Offender never reported. On 123-2018, absconder reduction program letters were mailed to the following address: 7413 South 41st Way, Phoenix, Arizona, 85042, and 1147 North Howard Boulevard, Tucson, Arizona, 85716.
Thank you, sir. Okay, since the board has no more questions, I'm going to call your supporter up if she'd like to come up and speak. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
Would you state your name, please?
My name is Irma Espinosa. I would like to say, ever since I've known Mr. Marcia, we met at the church, I'm sorry, I'm just a little emotional, and nervous. I met Mr. Marcia at the church called Fire and Water. It's between Roosevelt and 20th Street. I was a little aware about the problems that was going on at the halfway house. I knew about the parolees that went there. He had a little bit of problems there, but never did I know how severe it was. But when he did leave, I didn't know exactly what was going on until I heard from my sister that he, or even my sister, were family members that he was he went on the run. Now to this point, his daughter came from California, and now he has a daughter here, and which he didn't have before. He didn't have those resources or the stability that he has now, even with me, with my family, that he has even a support system. When he first got out, his mother passed away, his father passed away. That was his big support system. Now that I met him, we try to give him all the support system that he needs to even come out as a person to be well, to be even out there in society. His daughter's mother took off back to prison, so she's the only one that has him around. And we would like him to even be in her life as anything, or even be reunited with her. I know she's been living with me, and he would be, even if he goes back into society, he would be with his support system and everything. He would be even be reunited and even be well with his daughter. Any questions?
How old is his daughter?
How old is his daughter? She's already going to junior high.
Okay.
So, but I have to get some, to get her into middle school and stuff and everything. So we're having a little bit difficult, but she's here. She's trying to adapt even to everything that's going on, because really she knows me. She only knows him. Anything
else?
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we're nearing the end of your hearing. Before the board goes into discussion to make a determination, we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Any other information you'd like to give the board to help us make a decision, but we ask if you don't repeat all the information that we've already covered. So now is your opportunity.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
I just wrote a letter that I would like to read to the board, and it's like a little long, not too long letter, but I did write a note in a letter that I would like to read out to the board and
Okay, go ahead.
First and foremost, I would sincerely like to apologize to my parole supervising officer, as well as my fiancée and my daughter, who is 12, and she couldn't attend this hearing due to school. Well, I would like to introduce myself. My name is Eddie Lefkowitz. I'm 30 years old. I served just a little under 15 years on different terms. Aside from my notes, I would really like to tell my POA president and this community to know my reasons as to responding. I would like to apologize, not for my wrongdoings or to justify my wrongdoings, because as a grown man, I take full responsibility in all my actions. Well, since I've been in prison, I've not only lost my freedom for unwisely decisions, but also I lost my parents and my mother, I would like to just apologize, because even though I've chose wrong decisions and everything, I was out there being a supporter. I was an abiding citizen, and yeah, I was on the run, but I still was holding on my job. I wasn't hiding. I was, I brought some pictures with me as far as I was out there just living a life as to hiking, going out every day, camping out and doing like family stuff, that stuff that I dreamed of when I was in prison. And when I was in prison and I lost my parents, I didn't turn to drugs, I didn't turn to getting drunk. I turned myself into, like, I wanted to pretty much, I'm gonna admit to that, I wanted power, I wanted to be known in prison, I wanted to be a tough guy, and that's why my behavior in here is like, as far as not an aggressive or a violent person, it's just that was the role that I wanted to play when I was in here. And then one day I just realized, I don't want to be that person no more, man. I have a family, I want to raise my daughter, and I chose to renounce in 2015. I chose to debrief and come to protective custody. It wasn't because I got in trouble with in prison and nothing. I just didn't want nothing to do with that. I was tired of being somebody that I wasn't. And when I got out there and I met my fiance, I put everything aside and I wanted my daughter to come into my life because her mom went, she took off, and I even told my people, I want to be out here and make it, man. I want a second chance to society, man. I don't want to be in prison all my life. I want to share my life with somebody that's with me and supporting me, like Irma. I mean, I don't have family here. All my family are in the Philippines or in Mexico. So as it is, it's already hard for me to survive out here by myself, but I wasn't out there partying, clubbing, or breaking rules and laws. No, I was out there working, taking my wife to work, being like a husband at home, raising my daughter, you know, and I would just like the board to reconsider the fact that I was trying to make it out there and have my job and was raising my daughter and have somebody that supports me now, somebody that's waiting to say, yeah, you can come home. I'm willing to take you under my supervision. I know you won't jeopardize my safety, my niece's safety, that stays with her, as well as my daughter's safety, you know?
Okay, thank you, sir. The board will be going into discussion to make a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're talking to you, but we won't be. But we ask you to stay on the phone, remain silent, and I'll get right back with you after we've made the determination, okay?
Okay, sir.
Thank you. Board is now in discussion. Well, it sounds like Mr. Macedo has some reasons to go out and hate himself, but he's done actually a pretty poor job on this release with everything that's going on, and if he wasn't responsible for what they found in the room, running away doesn't help the case. But, you know, I appreciate the fact he'd like to take care of his daughter, since she's back in his life after quite a long time, but he needs to set a good example for her also. And I'm understanding for 4 months isn't a good example. With the abscounding and the possibility of being involved in the drugs, whether he was taking them or not, sounds like there was a setup for distribution there that was found. And then since we went back in May, middle of May, and 6 months violations, which that's very troublesome to me. So this time I don't find him suitable for return to community supervision, but you know, he's got less than a year and he'll be totally done. But I want to listen to his any discussion.
I agree. I think that Mr. Marcel has made a decision in his life that he's ready to turn his life around. I think that if he remains there and get involved in some anger management classes, take some classes, that so when he gets out, he won't be on parole, he won't be on any community supervision, he'll be able to do it where he would like to. It sounds like he has good support in Ms. Garcia as well as his daughter. I think he said his daughter was about 12 years old that he has, but you know, he has to make a decision that he wants to get his life and continue this idea that he has of 6 minors and the pending fighting since he's been incarcerated doesn't doesn't sit well, and he has 121 days that he's been out as an absconder. I think that Mr. Marcel really wants to do right, but if he really wants to do right, he'll take this time that he has left, get himself together, work with his CO3, try to take any anger management type program so that when he gets out, he can get with his fiance and raise his daughter and not have any negative contacts with law enforcement or have to come back before this board again. I think he just needs to take this time, get his stuff together. When he gets out, I think that he'll be a productive citizen. He just needs to take that time. He does have good support. I offer him my condolences for the death of his passing away of his mother and father, but I think that Ms. Garcia, as you said, Ms. Garcia is there, her family's there, and his daughter's there. And, take this time, look forward to getting out and being productive and not having to go back there, but really take this time that you have in there to get yourself together so that when you come out that you could be the family man, the parent, and all those things that you just dreamed about doing, that you started to do, that'll be waiting for you when you get out, when he gets out with her.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so based on all the information, work number 2018W0160, Mr. Mazzell's testimony and information from Mr. Turner, Department of Corrections, I don't know if we went to community supervision as he was delinquent, violated term and condition of supervision, and had an action without the lapse in criminal ways or company.
Second.
Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Johnson. So, sir, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision at this time. According to the information we have, you're due to be released on or about May 13, 2019, which should complete your commitment to the Department of Corrections. You don't have to worry about halfway houses or any of that. You can go live your life on your own. Hopefully you'll be able to maintain sobriety and you won't revert to any criminal activities, and you can be a successful father and husband and have a good life. In the meantime, you might try some AA and NA programming while you're in there. Those are all good to help. Even if you don't have an addiction, even if you don't have a problem with drug or alcohol, those can help you get your life focused and help you not fall off the wagon, not fall off the straight and narrow in the future. So we do wish you the best of luck in this preliminary hearing, sir. And please put the CO3 back on the phone.
You guys are a fucking piece of shit, man. You guys don't fucking want to ever help motherfuckers out, and you guys don't do nothing.
Sir? Okay, you will be written up for that attitude, sir.
I don't give a fuck.
Okay. You made a good decision, I see.
Okay, sir.
Yeah, you fucking did make a good decision, piece of shit. Fuck you.
Put the CO3 back on the phone.
Now, fuck you.
Sir, thank you very much. Put the CO3 on the phone.
Sir, could you please put the CO3 back on the phone? Mr. Marcel. Mr. Marcel, put the CO3 back on the phone, sir. Your hearing is concluded at this time.
We have a phone number for that.
He hung it up.
Well, I'm sure Mr. Turner will make sure that incident is recorded.